Population extremes. From the end of the last ice age, about 12,000 years ago, until sometime in the mid-1600s, the size of the entire population of Earth is believed to have been pretty much stable. During that time, the number of people born was offsetting those losing their lives to everything from woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers to the brutally cold winters caused by climate change. So for the last 11,500 years or so, there have been fewer than 500 million people living on the Earth. To put this into perspective, it means that for approximately 11,500 years, the number of people being sustained by our planet's resources was about half of the number living in India today. After 1650, however, the conditions changed and the population began to grow. Between 1650 and 1804, the population doubled to Earth's first 1 billion people. After the first doubling, it took only 123 years to double again to 2 billion. Since that time, the trend has continued, with each doubling taking less time. As the number of people in the world increased, first to 3 billion, then 4 billion, 5 billion, and 6 billion, the time it took to add each additional billion people shrank from hundreds of years to 33, and then 14, and then 13, and then 12 years, respectively. In the year 2012, our global family reached a new record of about 7 billion people. And while the speed of population growth appears to have slowed since then, it continues. As Joel E. Cohen, a mathematical biologist and head of the Laboratory of Populations at the Rockefeller University, states in Scientific American, quote, "The peak population growth rate ever reached, about 2.1% a year, occurred between 1965 and 1970. Human population never grew with such speed before the 20th century and is never again likely to grow with such speed," end of quote. So the good news in Cohen's assessment is that the population explosion appears to have topped off about 40 years ago. The flip side is that most of those born during that peak are still alive and need to find the resources in terms of food, water, homes, and jobs to sustain them through their lifespans, now with an average expectancy of 67 years worldwide. This is where politics, technology, lifestyle, and age-old customs are converging to create the hotbed of social crises that we see today. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, whose vast resources for data collection provide some of the most accurate and timely information possible, describes the need to record such statistics. Quote, "The population growth rate is a factor in determining how great a burden would be imposed on a country by the changing needs of its people for infrastructure, such as schools, hospitals, housing, and roads, resources such as food, water, and electricity, and jobs. Rapid population growth can be seen as threatening by neighboring countries," end of quote. Energy extremes. There's a direct link between the number of people in the world and the demand for energy that they create. While we'll explore the relationship between population and energy in later chapters, the point here is that the world's growing population and also the growing numbers of people aspiring to Western ideas of an energy-intensive lifestyle has pushed the demand for energy up to record levels. For the last century or so, that demand has been met mostly through the use of fossil fuels. During the 19th century, coal was so abundant in Europe and North America, and so inexpensive, that it quickly became the fuel of choice for the world. For more than 100 years, coal powered the steam engines for the factories, the ships, and the railroads of the Industrial Revolution. In 1800, it's estimated that the world produced about 10 million tons of coal per year to satisfy its energy needs, and by 1900, that number increased 110-fold to over 1 billion tons of coal per year. Today, coal remains the primary source of energy used to power the turbines that create electricity for the world. In 2010, 7.2 billion tons of coal were produced worldwide. At the current rate of use, the U.S. Energy Information Administration estimates that the world has about a century and a half of remaining economically exploitable coal reserves. New forms of energy, however, are on track to replace coal as the primary source of energy to produce the world's electricity. Beyond the world's industrial power grids, coal is not the fuel of choice. When it comes to heating our homes, cooking in our kitchen stoves, and fueling the vehicles that get us back and forth to work each day, historically, we've relied upon oil. Following World War II, oil became safe, cheap, and popular, and has been the fuel of choice for domestic energy since that time. While the world's oil reserves looked nearly inexhaustible at the start of the oil era, the fact that crude oil is a finite resource tells us that it's unreasonable to rely upon this shrinking resource for the growing energy needs of the future of the world. While this makes sense intuitively, it was a geologist in the 1950s who put this fact into perspective and gave us a timeline for just how long we could expect the world's oil to last. That geologist was M. King Hubert. In what has become the most accurate predictor to date for determining how long we can expect the world's oil supplies to last, Hubert placed the key factors for oil, such as estimated reserves, proven reserves, recoverable reserves, and so on, into a formula to describe how much oil exists and how long it will last. The result was a statistical curve that now carries his name, Hubert's curve, more commonly known as the peak oil curve. In a tribute to the accuracy of Hubert's ideas, the actual data from the amounts of oil discovered and produced correlates almost exactly with what his calculations predicted. Compelling results such as these are now applied to estimates on a global basis to give us a realistic idea of how long the world's reserves will last. The result? Well, we've already passed the time of peak oil. We've already passed the time when huge oil fields are routinely discovered and huge amounts of oil can be recovered easily. And it happened approximately 25 years ago in the mid-1980s, when the demand began to exceed the amounts produced. We've now entered an era of relying upon oil that's harder to recover and more expensive to produce to meet the ever-growing demand for energy on a worldwide basis. The dilemma is that while we know that the cheap oil is gone and we know the world's reserves are shrinking, the demand for oil continues to increase. And while it's true that the growing environmental awareness in more efficient automobiles have decreased the use of oil in the Western nations, it's the world's overall demand that continues to grow, largely due to emerging economies such as those of India and China. Until recently, the production of oil and oil products has been able to keep the pace with what's needed. It's clear, however, that this relationship cannot last under the present conditions. Now that the availability of cheap oil is declining, scientists have to look deeper into the oceans under many miles of water and deeper in the earth under many miles of rock for the remaining deposits. Both of these factors make the drilling more difficult and increase the costs of recovery, making crude oil less profitable to produce. The term that describes this relationship is return on investment, or ROI. The decreasing ROI on oil production today is already a factor that's giving new meaning to the term peak oil. So while oil will continue to be an important way to meet the energy needs of the world for the foreseeable future, it's becoming less so because other renewable and less expensive forms of energy, and advances in natural gas technology, are turning the energy equation of the world upside down.